from the Dominican Republic. Thanks for coming here today with us.
Thank you for having me here.
You're all of 22.
Yeah.
You're on the leadership committee of the AIDS conference here in Mexico City. You got involved in HIV/AIDS just 5 years ago. What drew you to this issue?
Well, mainly I've been hearing about HIV/AIDS since I was very young, and it was always in a very negative context. The neighbor got infected with HIV. How can that person be having sex, or how can she be involved in that? That's stigmatizing. And then I got involved in various volunteer activities in my community, which is Santiago. And when I went to an interview for a global initiative for UNFPA, which was to develop an advocacy campaign for HIV prevention, I actually started looking for information and see, wait a minute, this isn't the situation at all. What people think, what society says, what my peers say about HIV, and I really want to do something to help out. And if I can actually, with another group of young people, if we can coordinate an advocacy campaign and implement a program or get funding and put
did
a little brain into the beach.
Did you do all that?
Yeah, we did all that. We coordinated a process in several localities in the Dominican Republic, and we're able to get funding and put the topic there in some communities. And I think if you work at the local level, you bring realities to a national level eventually.
And what was the program at the local level?
Basically, we worked on a capacity building process with other young people. So as young persons, we gave trainings, workshops on public policies, youth leadership, HIV prevention, advocacy, and then we all made a plan at the community to advocate with the mayors and local decision makers to put the topic of HIV prevention and sexual and reproductive rights for young people on the table and to get funding for that. And
was it hard to get the kind of support that you needed from your peers in the Dominican because of the kind of stigma and discrimination that's on the ground there?
Well, it depends. If you have the adequate information and you give it and you give evidence, then you have the support, because I think what's missing is the right information at the right time. For example, if I go to my peers in my school where the sexual education program, well, it was there, but there wasn't the whole broad information on what is HIV or what are the risk factors and how can you have a safe sex relationship apart from abstinence. Then you have adequate information to protect yourself. And so I think that if you give that information, and I talk with my peers, then I did have their support, and they kind of saw the bigger picture. And also the youth participation movement in the Dominican Republic is pretty strong. So there are other organizations and other young leaders that were also working on that.
Did you ever feel, though, the sting of discrimination because you had become associated with HIV/AIDS? Were your parents worried about you? Did any adults in your life try to discourage you from doing what you wanted to do?
Well, actually, my parents weren't, and no other adults. They were pretty supportive. People didn't ask much. That was basically it. They didn't want to know the details. I'm like, okay, HIV/AIDS, it's odd. But, you know, I would sit down and explain to them, because I think, like I said, information is the big point here.
And so now, in Mexico City, what is on your agenda for this week?
Agenda? Well, there's a lot of things. First is a plenary, State of the Epidemic, where I'm going to present what's the state of the response for young people and basically some challenges that have been. Then I'm organizing a session on addressing the gap for emerging youth leadership and funding and commitments, where we're going to showcase examples of youth participation that has impacted policymaking. And then also basic activities with the Mexico Youth Force, which I am a part of, and we're really focusing on promoting youth participation and youth issues like recognition of our rights, resources for capacity building programs, and recognize our realities, because young people aren't just a homogeneous group. You know, we're diverse. We have young persons who have, they're gays, lesbians, young persons who have different race, young people that inject drugs, that are streets, that live in the streets and are in prison. And basically, you can't tailor a program as young people, you know, you have to, young people in that situation, young people in that reality.
Is that the main message that you want people here to understand about young people, or are there other takeaway messages that you want to leave people with?
Yeah, there are other messages.
And what are they?
Well, that's one. You know, a program should focalize on young people, especially young people in context of risk, as they're saying now, and tailored to our realities. And that's another point there comes youth participation. Many times there are international spaces, everybody talks about youth participation. Well, we should bring a young person to be involved, but then when you go to the country and you go, for example, to the government, you don't see those formal decision spaces being turned into the international dialogues going into in-country successes, and that's a lack, and that's definitely one of the messages that. And we also play a big part there as young persons that we can follow up and do the advocacy for those spaces to open up and actually have some impact and mean something. And another big, I think a very important message is evidence-based information and education and services. For example, when we talk about sexual health education in schools, is it really based on evidence or just on beliefs or theological beliefs or myths? And I think we have a lot of evidence, but we're sort of drowning in it because, the epidemiological report says that less than half of young people have adequate information of the transmission of HIV. And so basically something's wrong there. There's a gap missing, and I think we need to put the evidence into practice.
And is it not only about the evidence, but also the way the message is delivered, that it's delivered as a 50-year-old may speak to a 50-year-old, but not as a 20-year-old would talk to a 20-year-old?
Yeah, definitely. And that's where also youth involvement comes in, where we should be involved in the implementation and the design. And, for example, if the curriculum in schools is going to be designed, there should be a young person there that says, you know, we actually need these topics
to be
addressed. Yeah, we need to be at the table. And also when we talk about sexual and reproductive health services, you can't prevent HIV without focusing on sexual and reproductive health for young people, and they should be confidential. Many times those services actually discriminate us. We don't find that we can have confidence, or they're not friendly, they're not accessible resource-wise or location-wise. And so going back to the point, they should be tailored to our realities.
Final question. What will be your definition of success leaving Mexico City?
My definition of success. Well, I think that we have a very ambitious youth program planned for the conference. So if we can see actually those messages that the Mexico Youth Force developed in the consultation with many young people around the world, if we can see those messages actually mainstreamed across sessions, and we can see all the issues that also affect young people, as, you know, we're 40% of all new infections of HIV, then I think we're getting the topics on the table. And then if we can actually get those, what's said in the conference, being applied country-wise, then that would be a big, big success.
Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.